From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the first day of August 2019. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting, take a look at the weather forecast with Mike Tenura from T-Storm Weather in Chicago, and discuss the agricultural cash grain market with Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We hear the way the numbers finished up in Chicago for this Thursday afternoon. Nearby corn in the September down 7.5 cents at $3.92¾. December at 4.02½, 7.5 lower. The March down 7.25 at 4.13¼. And July corn 5¾ lower at 4.24½. Next year's December at $4.08¾ finished 2½ cents lower on the afternoon. From the soybeans, nearby contract down 17 cents. $8.47. September 8.52¾, 16¼ lower. November at 8.65¼, down 16¼. And January futures, 8.78¾, down 16¼. May contract, 8.91¾, down 16¼. July at 9.15¼, and the beans down 16½ cents. Bean oil 7 cents lower. The bean meal down $5 for the day. Soft red winter wheat 11½ cents lower at $4.75¾. The hard red September down 7 at 4.15¾ for the afternoon. Live cattle futures in the October at 108.72½, up $1.07½. September feeders at $141.52½, down 92½ cents, and lean hogs for the day. In the October contract at $67.47½, down $3.52½. The closing market report is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may look us up and listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. You can do that right there at WILLAG.org. You'll also find us as a podcast in the Google Play Store, iTunes, on Stitcher, SoundCloud, in the NPR One app, and Spotify. The closing market report, Commodity Week, and the opening market report, all available to you whenever you'd like to hear them.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
We're now joined by Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Hey, good afternoon to you, Dan. Were you online when the president made his tweet about the extra 10% tariff on the $300 billion worth of goods coming from China?
Yes, I heard about it. I follow Trump. So I got the tweet, and talking to some of my sources in Hong Kong, I kind of felt that was coming. What Trump is going to do, whether or not we like it or not, I mean, he's basically trying to change the supply chain away from China and into other countries around the world. And Mexico is probably the biggest beneficiary of it. They have already seen a pickup of supply chain orders moving to Mexico out of China. And I think that was one of the reasons why the Mexican president and the globalist CEOs from American-based companies basically got together and told the Mexican president that they had to work with Trump or there was going to be a bunch of tariffs on Mexico. So Mexico agreed to at least help Trump on the southern Mexican border and on the northern border. So we are seeing some help from Mexico to help solve some of the issues that we have down along the U.S.-Mexican border. So Mexico is going to be the biggest beneficiary of it. They're trying to change the supply chain to Mexico. And, of course, if we can get the Mexican economy to offer more jobs, then that takes off the pressure of people wanting to come to the United States. And so I think as a bigger scheme of things, that is what's going on. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't have some kind of agreement somewhere down the road that they would maybe buy more grain from us. But I think the African swine fever or flu that's been going on has really cut the demand for grains and proteins in China, because China now is selling corn into the world market. So that's what's kind of putting pressure on our U.S. corn market, as well as the South American supplies. And then, of course, if they're selling that corn, that tells you that their livestock demand base is has shrunk quite a bit. And then they won't be using as many soybeans for protein as what they had been using over the past several years.
So you've outlined kind of a shifting plan from the Trump administration, and it may be just a reaction to what the Chinese have laid out in their in their five-year plans, in their Silk Road sorts of plans, that they also were looking to shorten their supply chains up and change their dependency, I suppose, on the United States, and open that road back up through Europe a bit more. So we'll see how that all plays out. But boy, it's not been pretty for agriculture over the last couple of years.
It hasn't. And I'm sure everybody's going to blame Trump for it. But we were going to lose a lot of that China business anyway. It was just a matter of when we were going to lose it. And unfortunately, it's hit U.S. agriculture at a time when we didn't need it. But this is kind of the repeat of the 70s, 80s, as far as I'm concerned, where you had the very lofty prices in the double O's, which, brought in production, increased land base acreage around the world, increased production. And then so then we always oversupply, overproduce. Farmers have a knack of overproducing, whether they're North American farmers or South American farmers or European farmers, whatever it is. Farmers love to produce grain. And if Mother Nature is on their side, they do produce. But we do have, problems, weather issues in Europe. We have weather issues here in the United States. We don't know exactly what our production is going to be. But when you get to this time of year and you basically have non-threatening weather and a general lack of demand, it's hard to hold the market up. I mean, seasonally, the month of July closes lower, 80% of the time. And it just seems to be that the market is following somewhat of a seasonal pattern by putting its highs in the market during June. Between June 15th and July 15th, a lot of highs are made in corn and soybeans. About half of the highs are made during that time window, and that looks like that has happened again. And now we are now coming down into some kind of seasonal low. We'll see whether or not USDA changes things enough on the August report to give some life to the corn and soybean market based upon supply tightening. Or if we'll have to wait, as we normally do, wait into October before they really give us some solid numbers. But unfortunately, that's where we're at right now. The head and shoulders top formation that I've been talking about the last couple of weeks, I thought was going to maybe turn out to be more of a sideways range. But this week's decline basically solidified that as a major top in the marketplace. And that is what's sent us sharply lower. We've seen a lot of long liquidation from that and new selling, because I do think open interest did rise a little bit yesterday on the decline. So that says there's new selling coming into the market based upon the technical side of the market as well as the fundamental side of the equation. So we'll see what we are now kind of in what I would call a kind of an oversold territory, at least on the daily charts. Seasonally, October or the month of August is more of a sideways type month, and we maybe even have some prior strength going into harvest or going into September. And of course, a lot of that this year is going to be what USDA is going to start, I think, with USDA's August report, and we'll see whether or not the rains that are in the forecast for the second week materialize, because if we don't get those rains, we're not going to have a very big crop. I think the corn crop and the soybean crop is being hurt by dry weather, but a good rain could solve some of these issues. So we'll see whether or not that rain materializes the end of next week or so.
What should farmers consider as it relates to old crop that they have in the bin?
Well, I guess I would sit out this current decline at this point because we are technically oversold. And I guess I would anticipate that we would see some short covering or a retracement rally going into USDA's crop reports, because I think the shorts will probably be a little nervous since there is really no weather premium built into the market after this week's decline. That might give them an opportunity. The cash market hasn't been hit as bad as the futures market, at least up to this point. We'll see whether or not this week's decline does start spilling over in wider basis levels. But I don't see any really early harvest pressure coming into the market this year like we normally do. So I do think overall cash prices in the futures market at least has an opportunity to kind of recover as we go on into September crop report, and that might be a selling opportunity at that point.
Hey, thanks so much. I'll talk to you during Commodity Week. We'll record that in about 40 minutes or so. I'll give you a call then.
Very well, Todd.
That's Dan Zwicker. He is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, and will join us for our commodity program, Commodity Week program, that is, this afternoon, along with our other panelists, including Phil Shaw, who you might recognize as a Canadian producer online as Agridome and maybe from DTN. He writes for them. Merrill Crowley will join us from Midwest Market Solutions out of Watseka, Illinois, and so will Joe Vaklovic of Standard Grain. We'll try to get that posted to our website this afternoon by about 5:30 or so. You can pick it up there or listen to many of these radio stations over the weekend, and of course hear it on our home station on Friday afternoon, just after the closing market report. Let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast. Mike Tenura is here. He's with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago. Hey, good afternoon to you, Mike. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, great being here, Todd.
Let's begin with the weather forecast right here in the Corn Belt. And rather than looking forward, can you look back and tell me about some of the driest areas? That seems a little odd this year, but I know they're there.
Well, they do exist from central and eastern Iowa and then through Illinois and into Indiana. Not all of these states were drier than normal, but over the last 30 days, we're starting to see some dryness pockets develop. If we quantify it with our proprietary data, we can show you that 27% of U.S. corn and 23% of U.S. soybean production were drier than normal over that 30-day period of time. And it's not just because of what's happening in the I states, but also because of parts of North Dakota and especially in Kansas. So you think about this and you're saying, okay, about 25% of the U.S. crop was drier than normal over the last 30 days, whether I look at corn or soybeans. Historically, that's not all that unusual, because typically we can be a little bit higher than that if we go back in our data set, which dates back to 2011. So we're not overly concerned about this at the moment. And it's primarily because a lot of areas were actually pretty wet. A lot of Minnesota, a lot of Wisconsin, parts of Ohio, the Delta, even large chunks of Nebraska were fairly wet over that period. So it's going to take some time before everybody would be able to get involved in the dryness. And that's pretty much why we're not overly concerned about it, though we certainly are watching it. And we can even see this starting to show up on the shorter term maps where we look at rainfall over the last 2 weeks. Once we calculate that out, we have a higher number, 40% of U.S. corn and soybean production were dry over that period. So, Todd, the dryness levels are increasing, but it just takes a little time before this becomes alarming because, again, historically, it's not all that unusual.
It means the month of August will be really important, and more important that it is normal at a minimum than out of the ordinary, at least to the dry side.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And the forecast is complex. And the reason is simply because of where the Corn Belt is going to be located compared to the two main features of weather across the continent. Essentially, off to our west, we'll have a large and hot area of upper-level high pressure. Off to the north and east, a number of significant cool fronts will be riding through southeastern Canada. And that leaves the Corn Belt essentially between the hottest and coolest air that exists in the continent. And sometimes this gradient from hot weather to cool weather is not all that impressive. It takes a long time to go from the hottest weather to the coolest weather. But the setup that's developing this week, and especially once we get into later on next week, that temperature gradient is going to be fairly sharp. We're already seeing a little bit of a sharp temperature gradient over the last couple of days. And for example, parts of western Kansas were in the hundreds over the last 2 days. But to the immediate east, in parts of eastern Kansas and eastern Nebraska, highs were only in the 80s. And so a very sharp gradient was there. And that gradient is going to get even sharper as we move forward in time, so that it'll be difficult to figure out exactly where that's going to set up. And the reason it's important is because major thunderstorm clusters form on that very sharp gradient. And that's part of the reason we saw some very heavy totals in eastern Kansas last night. Some areas had up to 10 inches of rain, and it was only in a very localized small area, but it was because of that gradient where that heat's trying to move to the east, but it's not able to do so. So as we move forward, we're going to see thunderstorms here and there, initially over the next few days, generally in the plains and kind of to the west of where most corn and soybeans are produced. Early next week, a cool front moves through. That'll develop a few storms here and there, but more than likely not too much. So these areas that are already fairly dry pretty much stay pretty dry over the next week. Then we get into that complex scenario in about a week to 2 weeks from now, where that gradient sets up a little bit closer to the Corn Belt. It's not going to be completely dry, but it probably won't be gully washer wet either. We'll just see scattered storms here and there from time to time. That's typically not a recipe for heavy rainfall, and because of that, we think we'll see near normal totals over the next 2 weeks, with most of that in 1 to 2 weeks, but we really need higher totals to offset some of this drying. So it's pretty complex to try and analyze this one, but basically we just need a little bit more time to see exactly how this pattern is going to unfold.
Hey, thanks so much. We'll give you some time. How about a week, and we'll talk to you again.
Oh, yeah, that sounds great. We'll know more then for sure.
All right. That, of course, is Mike Tenera. He is with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. On this Thursday, we're now joined by Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net to take a look at the cash grain market. Hey, Matt, quite a day, especially after the president made his tweet earlier in the day. The markets didn't like that at all. How'd the cash market react?
Well, yeah, I haven't seen any big fluctuations in basis. I am hearing that there are a few pushes that have gone on here this week with the market dropping. But that's going to be regional. I know that a couple of our bigger processors that, you know, are close to you and I in Central Illinois have had a decent line here the last couple of days. That tells me that there has been a fair amount of corn that's been marketed. So, yeah, I think with the basis dropping just a little bit last week, maybe some people are trying to shake a few bushels loose, because I do think that there's going to be a lot of worry over getting dry corn, especially towards the end of summer, as we continue to see this cool pattern. It's going to raise a lot of concern as to what kind of quality this corn crop is going to be and what the moisture content might be.
Yeah, I want to deal with old crop before I get to new crop, because you did mention that there were some lines. Producers have been holding on, I suspect, thinking that prices had to go higher as they looked across the fields. And they know they've got a good, I don't know, prior to May 25 corn crop and a pretty rotten after that. It's been awfully dry, and they're concerned. And then we've got demand that has slipped, new tariffs being put in place by President Trump earlier today that'll go on into effect on September 1st, I suppose. How do you deal with old crop corn that's in the bin that you may need to get rid of?
You know, we've been saying lately to get rid of a decent chunk of it, but not all of it, because a lot of guys, of course, want to gamble, you know, here going into the new crop. Now, the thing about it is that we feel like the first week or two of September, whenever there's not much corn harvested, if any, in this part of the world, that there could be a pretty hot basis developed. Now, especially if, like I was saying before, you continue with this weather pattern, and the concern and the fears that we're going to be looking at a 2009 situation, which I think there's going to be a significant amount of wet corn come to market this fall. Elevators are going to want as much good quality old dry corn, you know, to be able to have in the system, hopefully in some cases just blend it and ship it without even having to run through the dryer. We know that that happens sometimes. So, yeah, I don't want to get rid of all of it. But at this stage of the game, I don't know that I would sell it today. We are extremely oversold. And you would like to think that there would be some sort of a rebound in here. But with the kind of tweets that we saw today and the frustration we're all seeing with trade, you know, it's a pretty bleak deal right now.
I will ask about that. Have farmers had much of a reaction from those tweets, have you heard?
Based upon the limited amount of activity I've had on Twitter, yeah, it hasn't been pleasant. I don't think people are overly happy about it. You know, obviously, a lot of folks were hoping maybe there'd be something positive come out of these talks this week. Nothing positive comes out of it. And then we see President Trump putting tariffs on the $300 billion of goods. You know, as I look at, for instance, the Dow, actually off, as we're talking, you know, 260, 270 points. And so, you know, I think that's the only thing that is going to get the attention, for instance, of our president, as far as I don't think he wants to see the Dow completely tank. Yesterday's rate cut certainly wasn't enough to see any sort of weakness in the dollar. You know, we actually surged higher yesterday. And so, you know, today it's actually backed off some, but at this stage of the game, as far as trade's concerned, you know, we still have extremely expensive corn in relation to the South American corn, you know, and then we've got demand concerns out of China with ASF. And so on the export front, there's just not a lot of good stuff to talk about. All we can really focus on if we want to be bullish is supply.
Which crop, in your opinion, in your area and across the United States, is in bigger trouble at this point? Is it the corn or the soybeans?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question, Todd. And I would say that they both have, you know, their own host of issues. Okay, but as far as the soybean crop is concerned, I saw some estimates this morning for this August report, around 49 bushel, and I'm scratching my head saying, you know, we didn't get this bean crop planted until closer to double crop time frame than what we did normal planting. And we all know that early planted beans have been given kudos for the big yields the last couple, 3 years. And so you go out and you look at your beans, you see how many flowers, you see how many pods. Quite frankly, most of the agronomists I talk to have more concern about this bean crop than what they do the corn crop. So last year we had a 52 bushel national yield, Todd. I'm not sure that we I think we're going to be closer to 40 than what we are 50, maybe closer to 40 than what we are 45. I think there's going to be a very large yield drop on soybeans this year, and there will be a pretty significant drop on corn as well.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it. Talk to you next week.
Yeah, thanks, Don.
That's Matt Bennett. He is with AgMarket.net, joins us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report and helps us wrap it up. You can hear him again and our whole program, if you'd like, online at WILLAG.org. That's Will Ag. And don't forget, you can find us in your favorite podcast app as well.